All right. Well, right now we have connected with Dave Zanotti from American Policy Roundtable. Dave making his monthly sojourn with us to help us understand as best anyone can what's going on in our world of politics. Dave, welcome to the Wake Up Call Morning Show.
Good morning.
Always good, Jeff. Tommy to be with you guys.
Thank you.
And Dave, I don't even know why we're having you on this month. There's nothing going on. we thought we'd just say hi and see how the family's doing. And
but let's talk about the Christmas show. Christmas in America is coming up.
We will get to the Christmas show. We will finish with that.
Well, why not? Because, I mean, that's closer than the 2020 election.
That's true. All right, go ahead. Start with that. Why not? Let's get it through.
Oh, my goodness. Well, interestingly enough, the Christmas show this year, and this was picked out over a year ago, you have to understand the concept of the Holy Spirit leading in providence in this, because the theme is Home for Christmas 1783. And the whole focus is on the life and leadership and service of George Washington. And it's a very big project we've been doing. We've actually visited, spent hours at Mount Vernon at Washington's home filming. We have extensive interviews with one of the greatest experts on Washington in the world, Dr. W.B. Allen. We have a new book coming out as well. All of this focused on what does real leadership look like out of the founding era and what can we learn from it today. And it's a bit ironic, I think, that we're in the midst of presidential impeachment conversation while Christmas in America is focusing on POTUS number one and what we can learn from the life of America's first president.
Yeah. We could do with a little George Washington today.
Thank you. That's the whole idea. And, you know, we started the show well over a year ago. It's been a research for the last 4 years. So nobody saw this was coming. So it's just sort of the way that it seems to work out. We picked a year, then we go find the story. Last year, we picked a year in which the entire conversation ended up being about the life of Romuald Spazowski, one of the most profound socialists in the world, the Polish ambassador to the United States, an atheist and socialist who ended up giving his life to Christ and defecting from Poland and the Soviet Union and coming to America. And again, we pick the year and then we go looking for the stories. So we picked 1783 because we wanted to do something from the colonial era. And then we went looking for the story and this is what we found. So it's fascinating how this all works out. And of course, how people come now out of sheer curiosity. What's the story now? So we not only have a history lesson, but we really focus on the major and celebrate with wonderful Christmas music. So yeah, we're talking about POTUS number one in the midst of what looks like will be the third presidential impeachment proceedings in the history of our country.
Before we get into that, first off, tell us when the Christmas show is and where.
Oh, yeah. Well, that part, too. We've got one show in Ohio this year. It's in Medina at Cornerstone Chapel. And you can get all the information at thepublicsquare.com.
All right. And, Dave, can you make that connection? Why a Christmas show, especially like that? And what does that have to do with the American Policy Roundtable? Tell us about what you guys do.
Well, we start our broadcast year every year on the public square with Christmas, because Christmas is the event that splits all of human history in two. And Christmas is where life begins again for the human race from a biblical point of view. And since we bring to the field of public policy a set of ideals, a worldview that really you find in the Declaration of Independence, which begins with "We hold these truths to be self-evident," we talk about these self-evident truths as they were found in the beginning of our country. And those self-evident truths flow from the Creator. There is a Creator. He is not silent, and He has spoken to us in the person of His Son, who came to earth on Christmas Day. God just didn't show up. He chose to be here, to be born here, to live here, and to show us how to die here. Death is the culmination of thousands of years of messaging that God had given to the human race to explain that a day would come when a pathway would be open, a door would open, a bridge between God and man, where we could find our way back to that same Creator. And that's through the person of Christ, who sacrificed His life, death, and resurrection. This is the worldview from which America was birthed. This is the Creator that was being spoken about in our Declaration of Independence. America is not founded in a godless equation. It's founded in a biblical equation of faith, and it works best inside that equation. And that's the mission that we bring to public policy in America and really to every arena of life. We do a lot in media as well as in public policy. And what we find is that it's not a mission of compulsion. We're not suggesting that America was founded as a church or a theocracy or as a Christian nation, but America was founded as a nation of people who yielded to the truth formula found in the Declaration and the principles upon which they stand, which are uniquely biblical. And so we seek to bring a renewal of those principles and therefore a renewal of the American spirit. We've been doing that for 40 years. And so we start with a Christmas show because it reminds us that every year of our history, if we pick a year, we go looking for the manger, we'll find that manger and we'll find people who are seeking him.
And a message we need, you know, a reminder we need certainly every year. And certainly now, as you mentioned, we've got this whole impeachment thing going on. And, you know, we can sit here. I mean, we can hear all the debates about the value of this and stuff. I mean, this is seems like it's been an impeachment in search of a pretense for 3 years now. But, David, it seems to me right now we've come to a point where we have a bunch of people in elected office who have no respect whatsoever for our institutions and would rather govern and rule over a broken, dysfunctional, you know, government that they have ripped to the ground as long as they can be in charge of it than to uphold the institutions that have made this country great and actually, you know, responsibly govern and contend against each other within that. That they'd rather have, you know, an empire of dirt than that they can rule than to be a part of an actual functioning government that might actually help the people. And it just seems like they don't care what damage they're doing to our institutions as long as they can win.
Well, I'll let you all in on a secret and your listeners as well. These many years that we've done these monthly visits, I've learned as much as from you guys as perhaps you've learned from me. I've been anxious to hear your view on what's been going on because we've been monitoring it. We just got done doing hours of broadcasting on it. It'll be on the public square in the next couple of weeks. And we just produced a monthly update, which is going to the printer right now with questions and answers about impeachment, the basics, the history, and try to get it into four pages for even a 5-minute read. Because if you think about it, the way this thing is unfolding, unfortunately, once again, the American political class is going to ruin everyone's Thanksgiving dinner because you know this is all anybody's going to be talking about.
Yeah.
And it's going to take the next several months. So you get right to the core of the issue. The core of the issue is, what, you know, always it's what is God, what is man? Mm-hmm. And as we look at what is man, then we ask ourselves the question, what is civil government, and how do we get to a place where we can govern ourselves here on earth? And if we don't do so with the consent of the governed, which is the trigger, the key mechanism of our declaration and our system of the governed, we do not govern in this country by compulsion. We don't force people to believe things. We invite them to participate in consent. But once we get that consent and we together build a constitutional form of government and we flesh that out in state constitutions and state laws and federal laws, we have agreed, our constitution is like a contract. We have agreed that we will abide by the rule of law. Now, if we don't like the laws, we can work to change them. That's the wonderful thing about this process. There's plenty of room for change, and we change them all the time. But the idea is that we will all agree to the basic rules. It's just like a football game. If you don't agree where the end zones and the out-of-bounds lines and the yard markers are, you got no game. And this is exactly the way it is. And so what you're pointing to is the fact that politics, the quest for power and control, has now overridden our basic decency. Not of the people, not of the listeners of this station, not of the people who support this station, but of our political class. It's become a blood sport. It's like the Hunger Games. And here's the thing. We just wrote this yesterday in the update. We point the finger and look at these people and say, this political ruling class, they're killing us. They're killing the country. And they are.
Mm-hmm.
But they have no power that we didn't give them. Every ounce of power they have, we put in their hands. And then we checked out and said, you know, pick a side. Pick the R's, pick the D's, the reds, the blues, the shirts, the skins, whatever. We've delegated the responsibility for the federal system to these people. And then we walk away and forget their names for 2 years or 4 years or 6 years. So we've not only empowered them, but we've stopped holding them accountable. And we've stopped training up people to go in and replace them and to constantly improve the system. It's like a factory that has no quality control and no R&D and no continual commitment to improvement. And what, they're running the factory into the ground, guys.
Yeah. There's no maintenance crew.
Right.
Things break. They just keep running it, and who cares?
And let me tell you, this is both parties. There are some decent people on Capitol Hill. We all know them. They're decent people that are constitutionalists, they're faithful, and they're trying their hardest. But they are unfortunately distinct minority. Maybe 10 in the Senate, maybe 40 or 50 in the House out of 535. Now, that's just bad quality control on our part. We're talking about 435 people out of 360 million. You mean we can't get 200 decent people who believe in the Constitution elected? We're going to spend more money on Halloween candy this year than we're going to spend on the entire congressional election next year.
Well, who was it that said that people ultimately get the government they deserve?
That's kind of the side B to the record that Benjamin Franklin started playing when he said, it's a republic, madam, if you can keep it.
And Dave, I do believe this goes back to, as our country has moved away from God, I go back to, like, first of all, the argument about getting rid of the Electoral College and getting rid of all this stuff made by people who don't even understand why we have that and why that's a good idea and why that's necessary. Our system of checks and balances, which our founders put in because they understood that man is a fallen creature and that man is inherently sinful, and that if you give too much power to individuals, that they'll do bad things with it because that's who we are. And that we need this system of checks and balances because even the best people are prone to sin. And they understood, they had a biblical worldview and a biblical understanding of who and what people are, both our dignity and our depravity. And as we have moved away from God, as we've moved away from our biblical understanding of who we are, both as sinners and as redeemed sinners, you know, we've moved away from why we have a government set up the way that we do. And I think that's why we get so much just attacking it and destroying it and tearing it down, because they don't even understand why it's built that way in the first place.
100 years ago, Woodrow Wilson made a statement in a book that he wrote as a college professor, and then he would become president of the United States, and in essence, the founder of the progressive movement in America, which dominates the American political class today, Republican and Democrat. The progressive movement is basically established on the idea that we have to move America's founding off of the historical God equation that it is built upon, the Creator, and the idea that the rule of law flows from a quest for justice, and that quest from justice comes from the ultimate judge of the universe. Those are words, that ultimate judge of the universe, those are words you find in the Declaration of Independence. That's not a religious document. It's a political document, but it's a confession that connects both worlds. Wilson's goal, and he said it quite frankly, was to move America off its biblical founding and move it to a Darwinian founding. In essence, close the universe, the godless equation. Well, when you think about that, you look at King Solomon, who wrote these words in Proverbs 28:5. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it fully. Now, I'm not suggesting that any of us isn't evil. We're all fallen and sinners. You could actually switch the word and say fallen men, as you just described, do not understand justice. But those who seek the Lord understand it fully. When we stop seeking God, we lose sight of justice because we can't find the judge.
Yeah.
And this is the problem with America. We can't find our way home. We cannot square the circle. We cannot figure out how to make it all connect. We can't figure it out. And so we go from cause to cause and case to case and moment to moment, and we end up in a situation where we're lost. We're simply lost. In a way, it's so pathetic that it's actually beginning to get funny because we can't find our way home. And this whole thing with Donald Trump, I hate to tell you, it's become kind of like an animated series. It's actually getting funnier by the minute. And it's embarrassing. I look at how the world must look at what we're doing.
Yeah.
And the whole thing, it's simply embarrassing. And I guess we just can't see ourselves in the mirror anymore.
Yeah. Well, and I think you're right. We're supposed to be the greatest nation on earth, and we're led by a bunch of buffoonish clowns. I mean, that's really where we're at.
And not only did we put them there, we pay them to be there, and they take our first dollar.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're kind of like, oh, this is, we did not get a good deal here.
I mean, can we all say stupid together?
Well, you're right. I mean, we do bear responsibility. It's easy to point fingers and say, all those guys in Washington, but they're there because we voted them there. I mean, that's the reality of it. And I think, Dave, too, what do you think, going back to the idea of what you talked about, Wilson moving us away from the idea that we're founded in these biblical principles and biblical worldview to a Darwinian founding, you know, that shifts to your understanding of power. That under a biblical view, I realize that I may have been entrusted with power in certain situations, but I'm answerable to God for how I exercise that power. And I need to exercise that power for the benefit of others, not just for myself. And I'm going to have to give answer to God for that. You know, under the Darwinian view, you know, survival of the fittest. I obtain power, and then I exercise that power according to my will, and it's all about just getting that power, and I don't answer to anybody for it. I just need to have it so I can use it. And I think that shift that we have a lot of people in power who don't think they're ever going to have to answer to anybody, not even the voters, really, because we know, 90% get reelected or whatever, 95%. There's just no sense that I might have to answer to somebody for how I'm executing my office. No fear of God that says, you know what, maybe we shouldn't be behaving like this.
Well, I'm all for the Darwinian equation if there's no such thing. If they can just find a way to eliminate funerals. The only problem is every one of us will stand in judgment someday for what we've done. And you can extrapolate that judgment the whole way out, as C.S. Lewis did in his book, The Great Divorce. You can be an atheist in hell just as easily as you can be a religious person in hell. But there is an eternity. There is a place where we will all go. We came from somewhere. This is an amazing thing. We all spend our lives trying to take control over all the circumstances and be our own little gods. But none of us remembers the fact that we didn't choose to be here in the first place. There's never been a human being born on earth that chose to be here. And if you stop and think about that, that reality alone forces us to ask the question, why? Now, the godless equation works great on a straight line of the how. Survival of the fittest. He who dies with the most toys wins. Just be the most powerful, or the most beautiful, or the wealthiest, or the most famous. Whatever it is, the trading currency of the current generation, be that. There's just one problem. Someday we'll all look in the mirror and realize that we're going to be gone. And where are we going? And what does all this mean? There is a judge, there is a day, there is a thing called justice. And innately, we all know that down deep inside us. Our 8-year-old selves know that. And we also know that we never outgrow our 8-year-old selves. But all of this plastic that we apply over ourselves, the lamination of our souls from all of our prosperity and all of our media and all of our opportunities and all of our sins, we get hardened, we get stiff-necked, we stop seeking the reason why. And all we live in is the how. Well, you know what? That's why so many people in America are lonely. That's why so many people in America are doing drugs, whether they're prescription or non-prescription drugs. That's why so many people in America are lost in alcoholism. So many are lost in the diversion. So many are addicted to what? To the treadmill of what? Entertainment? Because we can't deal with the meaninglessness. We've got to mask it over in our souls. Now, Billy Graham spent an entire life speaking to Western culture on the question of loneliness. We're the most prosperous people that have ever survived this experience on Earth. And we're the loneliest. It's because we stopped asking why. We stopped looking to the source. We stopped looking to the Creator. Every one of us is desperately trying to get home. That's the reality.
We're talking with Dave Zanotti from the American Policy Roundtable. All right, Dave, a little shift here because I did give you some homework last time because there's an issue here that's affecting Ohio that is, just found an article about it. They voted to bail out the utility companies and spend $150 million or whatever.
On the nuclear power plants.
Yep. Right? So the taxpayers can, bail those guys out, which I was not a big fan of, but now there's all these things about the Chinese now are involved and they're taking over our power grid and I don't know what's going on. So I gave you the assignment. You have dutifully taken it up, so good for you. And help us to at least have some, if not understanding, information about what this is all about.
The best articles that we could find are posted now at aproundtable.org. This, or you want more, you can find those articles from Ohio newspapers that talk about HB 6. The legislature passed a measure that's right. It is a bailout. It's a state bailout for the nuclear power plants to First Energy. And in addition to that, First Energy customers are paying more on their bills every month. I've heard between 85 cents and $1.50 every month to keep these nuclear power plants functional, even though they're not competitive right now. And First Energy spun them off into a separate company, and they went bankrupt. Why? They went bankrupt because coal's back, and so is natural gas, because it's a competitive world, and you can't make it on nuclear power. Here's the only problem. When we bought into nuclear power, we bought into it forever, because those rods and that nuclear waste material doesn't go away. So you just can't close the door, walk away, and pretend it wasn't there, and 100 years from now, look at how nature deteriorated the thing, or else you're all going to die.
Okay? That would be bad.
Yeah, it's the science. It's what we bought into. And those of us that understand the North Coast, as your dear listeners do, know we don't want those nuclear plants to become a problem. That's very serious business. That's life and death.
Cedar Point glowing would not be a fun thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're in for the long haul. So there's no running away from this situation. And when we spread out the cost of the maintenance of it, it's not onerous. We bought in. The other thing we got to remember is business cycles and energy cycles trend and change. And let's be real clear about something. What is ironic to me is the people who are screaming out there the loudest about global warming have a solution that has zero carbon emissions for energy. It's called nuclear power. But they don't get behind it because, according to Bill Nye in one of his most recent television shows, they just don't like it. Well, I'm sorry. The planet has a fever. The world's coming to an end of global warming. We're all going to move to high ground. We're going to lose everything. And we've got an energy solution with zero emissions, but they're not going to do it because they don't like it. I mean, this is messed up. So the bottom line on the story is this. HB 6 was passed. Some people are now taking a referendum to try to knock the bill off the law because they don't like the fact it was a bailout. And in the process of discovery, we're finding out that there are foreign entities that are in the United States energy business. Gee, there's a big surprise. There are foreign investors in the energy business, and they're mostly in coal and gas and not in nuclear. So what's happening is there's a bunch of ads going on that are basically saying that the people that are in the coal and gas, not nuclear, energy, and the foreign investors, whether they're Australians or Chinese or whatever, whether it's banks or actual individuals or investment companies, are helping to underwrite the petition campaign and the campaign to strike HB 6, which is the bailout, off the books. If they succeed, the bailout ends, and the legislature's got to come up with another way of dealing with these nuclear power plants. And in a bit of a convoluted extension of logic, the people that are pushing for the petition, trying to get signatures and trying to get HB 6 knocked down by a vote of the people in 2020, are saying that China's trying to take over our energy grid. It's an extension of logic. It may be a bridge that's too far, to be honest, at the end.
So they might be exaggerating for political gain?
Yeah.
Do people do that, Dave?
Yeah, and I know all these folks that are behind this, the consultants and the people and all of that stuff, so they're going to be mad at me, and they're going to be writing to me from both sides. And, you know, they get paid to do this, and I don't. Okay, we're a nonprofit organization and a nonpartisan organization, so we got to basically call it as we see it, okay? We get involved in issue campaigns, and we don't get bonus checks, all right? They do this for a living, and so they pick a side, get a paycheck, and create the argument. Now, that doesn't mean they're not right. Doesn't mean that they're not moral. It's just there's a difference when you're coming at it from a nonprofit perspective and for the common good. Look, energy is not a political issue. Now, people are laughing out loud, all right? Now, get done laughing, and let me explain. You don't have to be a Republican or Democrat to flip the light switch or turn on your stove. Electricity doesn't ask you what your public policy positions are. You just use it. We all use it the same. There are some things that don't have to be political. It's just common sense. And as far as nuclear power goes, it has zero carbon emissions, and it's going to be around for a long, long time. If you've got plants, you either have the choice of getting rid of them or keeping them going. There's no middle ground. And if you've got plants, why would you throw them away? Because the day may very well come when you're going to need those things. So this is the reality of this, and it's not political. It's not about Republicans or Democrats. It's about what do the people want to do as far as their energy portfolio. So people may have a chance to vote in 2020 about whether you want to let the bailout go or not. But now, if the bailout doesn't happen, then the legislature is going to have to figure out how we're going to get rid of those plants. And we're going to have a lot of supervision over those energy companies to make sure that when those plants disappear, that it's all safe for everybody. So this issue isn't going away quickly.
All right. And as you said, you got things up online for people to check out further, right?
Yes. And thank you for letting me ramble on that for such a long time.
All right. So give folks the website, Dave, where they can go and find out all this information.
Christmas in America, thepublicsquare.com, and the articles on energy, AP Roundtable, like an American Policy Roundtable.org.
All right, David. Hey, thank you so much, buddy. We always appreciate your time with us. It's always good chatting with you. And we'll get you next month. Hopefully there's more going on that we could talk about next month.
Well, you know what? I think this is still going to be quite interesting.
Yeah.
Thanks, fellas.